Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Hey, this is Liz.
This is Heather.
In this week's episode, we are talking about female-led comedies.
All right, hit that music.
So it's we're back and it's March in Texas and life is weird here because apparently our state didn't kill us enough during the freeze a couple weeks ago when they turned all of our electricity off for 3 to 14 days. So now they have decided to remove the mask mandate. So now you no longer legally have to wear one in the state of Texas. Caveat, if you're a private business, you can still tell people to do whatever the fuck you want. But now you have to rely on your $7.15 per hour employees to marshal that. And that sucks. So
that's a perfect description of capitalism, though. Yeah. Like, you make a decision up high and just throw the minimum wage workers at it to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, you deal with all the Karens in the world. We came up with this statement. We're going to put it out on Twitter. So everybody's like, oh, good for you, Container Store. And then let the onslaught of Karens to go in and attack those workers, because apparently it makes them cool to, like, diminish a teenager or something.
Anyone. It's just terrible. So Paul and I went this afternoon to go pick up some lunch at Subway, and the two guys in line in front of us were not wearing masks. Now, all of the employees were wearing masks, and every other person in the store, I mean, there weren't that many, like five people in there or something, staying socially distanced. But these two guys are just walking around with their whole faces out, like, you might as well have your dick out at this point. I find it just as gross.
Yeah, it just bothers me now. Like, but some assholes are just like, nope, I'm going out and I'm not putting my mask on and just deal with it. I want to do a Liz and just start coughing every time that happens. Mm-hmm. Be like, well, aren't you glad I'm wearing a mask?
Yeah. And make it gross too. Just really nasty. No, I'm seriously like leaning away from these guys who are in front of me. And I'm like, oh God, you are gross. And my friend Emily is another podcaster. And she's like, I can't believe I used to just let people breathe on me. I'm never going back. I'm like, I don't ever want to go back either. Because one, I want to be able to make some sort of like facial expression that you can't see in my eyes when I hate you. And if I have a mask on, it keeps me from probably getting shot. Maybe. But also, again, I don't want weird strangers breathing on me. I don't need to be breathing on people. I don't want people breathing on my food. Like, you don't want to know the grossest thing in the world to me right now is a buffet. Like, the whole idea of a buffet just makes me want to puke. It just... bleh.
If it makes you feel better, I have always felt that way.
Well, I have as well. And I mean, again, I am an allergy person, so I tend not to do buffets because there's a high risk of cross-contaminations with foods that will kill me. So, but I'm just like, oh God, like just the whole idea, just not gonna be a thing, I think, in my life.
The only buffets that I've ever actually like will go to is a sushi buffet. No, number one, because children are usually not there,
right?
Because kids aren't like going to go, oh hey, California roll, and then they just that's just not their thing. But also sushi, you know, is you pick up your little pieces. I don't know, for some reason that's different than the scoops and the
well, it also tends to turn over pretty quickly, so it's not something that just gets left out for. I mean, you hope. Anyway, the show is not about sushi, nor is it about COVID, though we have to start everyone talking about it, just so you still know what year it is.
Yes. It's 2020, month 15?
Yeah, month 15 of 2020. And, you know, it's funny. I do a lot of guest spots on other podcasts, and I've started doing some different draft pick kind of things. Like, we have this one show that we're talking to, and he is doing like top 10 lists and things like that, and just asking other podcasters and bloggers to weigh in. What are your top 10 whatever movies for whatever? And I did one recently with a group of guys, always the lone woman in these kind of situations, which is fine, I guess. But while we're going through this, because this was the top 10 comedies from like 2000 on. So in the last 20 years, pretty much, what have been the best, or no, 2010 on, sorry, from 2010 on, best comedy movies. And then we did another one that was on like TV series or something that had to run through that same time period. And, you know, as I was going through the list, you know, because it's a draft. So there's like a serpentine draft that people go through, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. So, you know, back and forth until you're done. And I started realizing that the Dude Bros all picked the same Dude Bro shows. And every show that was like voted on to make the list were all Dude Bro shows. Like, and we're talking like The Hangover and Old School. And, you know, you think of one and that was on the list. And so, you know, obviously I try to approach almost everything from the female perspective and trying to make sure that we are getting representation and we're getting some things out there. And I started really thinking about this, that you just don't see that many female-led comedies. And if you do, they are usually, you know, a lot of them don't even pass the Bechdel test. And some of them are, they're more like romantic comedies, right? Like, we don't necessarily see a lot of just slapstick or physical comedy or whatever from female-led shows. There are a few examples, or a few. There are a few exceptions, obviously. And honestly, anything that Melissa McCarthy in is just going to be fantastic to begin with. But I wanted to just go in and talk about some of our favorite female-led comedies and, you know, why we're not seeing as many as we'd like to, or we should. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so are we just going to go
we're just
going
to go
in
and talk about that?
Oh, okay.
What is your opinion on that statement? How's that?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, we've talked about this before, is that most comedies can bomb, and they don't, you know, the powers that be don't walk out of the room and say, well, yeah, we tried that male-centric comedy. I guess it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the drawing board. No, they don't. You know, but they do it with women's comedy. And you still kind of require a man to kind of get on board. Like, you need Judd Apatow or somebody to get this shit moving, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Dear male feminist, please tell me how we can do better as ladies. The end.
Yeah.
And it is. It's almost like the great white hero of movie directors is what they have to do. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, it's kind of crap. So that's why I love that, you know, people like Melissa McCarthy are coming in and they are taking those roles. And while they may not be directing, and sometimes she might, sometimes she doesn't, but they're absolutely producing. And, you know, it's like her and her husband make these movies together, and he's always got a little tiny cameo in them. But again, they are what I'm looking for in a comedy. Like, I would say Spy is maybe my favorite comedy movie that's come out in the last 20 years. I mean, it is hilarious. And that was my first pick. I had the first pick. And they're like, oh, you're going with Spy. I wouldn't see that. It wasn't even on my list. I'm like, that's because you're a dude, bro. Like, this is an amazing movie. And it is so funny. And I mean, just everything about it is hysterical. And people just don't even recognize it. They're like, oh, was that a movie? Oh, that's right. Ladies were in it. So I didn't watch it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but also Jude Law was in it. I mean, there was also
Jude Law was in it and Jason Statham is in it. And I love him in this because he is totally poking fun at all of his other spy movie roles with this particular movie and how he's portraying it. And it's just, it's clever. Everything about it is funny. And I don't know. I just love this movie so much. And the fact that, you know, like these three other guys were just like, oh, wow, that's a strange pick to come out with. I was like, have you watched it? They're like, no. Yeah. I'm like, well, then show your pace. You know?
Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious. I agree. That's probably the, I mean, obviously the first thing I thought of was Bridesmaids. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we're going with Melissa McCarthy for a chunk of these. But yeah. Bridesmaids was the first one where I remember people were actually saying, huh, I guess women can do comedies.
That, you know, that's one of the things that it just drives me insane. People are, ladies can't be funny. And I swear, I have a friend who was a comedian and I guess her boyfriend or the guy she liked at the time or something was also trying to be a comedian and whatnot. And he made some kind of statement to her at one point, like, you can be pretty or you can be funny, and you are funny. And I was like, whoa, fuck you. Because that's like the rudest thing I've ever heard in my life. But I was just like, why? What is it that men, I mean, is this such a toxic masculinity thing that they just don't realize that women can be funny too? I don't understand that.
And maybe that's kind of why there's more acceptance of Melissa McCarthy, because they were like, because she can be unassuming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though, man, she can be fierce too.
She is. It's like, why is she unassuming? Like, what is it about her that makes a guy say, well, you know, I guess I could watch that movie because, you know, she's allowed to be funny. Or like even when they read booted Ghostbusters and it was all women, there was such a backlash from that. Like, it's not as funny as the original. I was like, first of all, the original is a Saturday Night Live movie. Like, it's a good movie and it's a fun movie and we all remember it from our childhood. But I mean, we're not talking like fantastic cinema here. I mean, it was just a cheeseball movie.
I think a lot of that was for people that are probably our age that mm-hmm. came of age during it. And so there's a lot of nostalgia there with the Ghostbusters. And, you know, as we've learned, men can't handle the changing anything. You know, it wasn't like that in the comic books. Uh-huh. They don't have people of color in the comic books, you know, stuff like that.
The people of color in comic books are purple. Like, I don't understand what's happening. People. That's all we have. Like, but, we only have a purple hue.
Yeah, but you don't see like women going, oh crap, now they're girls. Mm-mm. That's gonna ruin it.
Well, that was the thing, like, especially with Ghostbusters, it took a different take. They didn't just remake the movie. They had their own kind of story in it, and it also became a little bit more smart, I think. Like, there was more actual stuff in it than just Gozer the Barbarian is here, Gozer the Destroyer, whatever his name was, you know, just some random thing, and here's our giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And but every one of the original Ghostbusters and their staff, like, who was still alive, was in that movie. They all had a cameo in that movie, and they even had a bust of Harold Ramis in there. So they got everyone in there. This was not something that's like, we stole it and ruined your childhood.
I know why people think that it ruined their childhood when, you know, they just watched Coming to America 2. I mean, it's just that it's different. And, you know, and honestly, they probably should have not just tried to reboot it. I think they should have been like, here's, you know, the L.A. branch is the Ghostbusters and they just happen to be women and they, you know, and
I just don't see why it like matters. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
well, I know. I just the story wasn't great, but it was good. It was, I found it funny. I laughed out loud.
Well, the original story wasn't great. You know,
no.
Again, it's not, we remember it with nostalgia because, like we've talked about, Gen X especially is generation nostalgia, and all of our little millennial brothers and sisters, they're like, oh yeah, I remember my big sister and brother used to watch that movie. I like that. Or I wanted to like that or whatever it was. But I think, you know, I put something up because obviously March is Women's History Month. and we had the International Women's Day like a couple of days ago. And so I put this question out there. It's like, what is your favorite female-led comedy? And like, I didn't put a genre. I didn't say it had to be movie or series, anything like that. So I just wanted to see what would kind of come up. And I'm really sad to say that what I got kind of spans from like the early 80s till now. And it's not a long list. And there was a lot of repeats with the same couple of things over and over again. So I don't understand why we're not having more of these made. And if they are being made, why we aren't hearing about them like we hear about these dumb shows that everyone thinks are hilarious. Like, I think Will Ferrell is funny and Old School was haha, that was good. But they're all the same. They're all the same dude bro fraternity guys get older, go out, drink, and hijinks ensue. They're the same. It's formulaic. And I don't understand why that's what everyone jumps to. And they're like, this is the best comedy I've ever seen. Like The Hangover. It's like, this is the best comedy I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, I don't get it. I watched The Hangover and it was like, okay.
I mean, The Hangover legitimately is hilarious. Now, once you throw the sequels on rewatch it a couple times, it's not as funny. But that's how all comedy movies are. You get kind of bored with them.
Spy.
I really like Spy. But I'll tell you that if you go and talk about formula, I just think that women's comedies right now are under like the Pitch Perfect formula.
Yeah.
And the men are under the Men Are Stupid, Get Drunk and Do Something Stupid. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I think the Hangover movies hopefully were the end of that because, you know, it gets boring. But I think the Pitch Perfect and those type of movies are still the formula for women's.
Yeah, if I'm going through and looking at the list, we seem to have like a couple of those things. So we have either your Mean Girls or your Dumb Girls kind of thing. So we've got Mean Girls, Clueless, Legally Blonde, things like that. And then we have the like coalition of ladies getting together and doing the things. So Golden Girls, Steel Magnolias, 9 to 5, you know, those kind of things. And that's great, but we're just not getting a variety of stories. But, you know, like I said, with Melissa McCarthy coming in and Bridesmaids and Spy and The Heat and whatever that one was where they took over the Girl Scouts. And, you know, there's just lots and The Boss, maybe. All of her stuff is new and fun, and I like it. But, you know, everything else. And again, most of these Pitch Perfect, Steel Magnolias, all of these things are, like, old. Like, none of this has been done in the last, like, 5 or 6 years. So
yeah. Well, I mean, there has been things, but there really hasn't been a lot of just, this is a comedy, come and see us lately. And you know, obviously, the last 2 years, it's been a... But, in fact, you know, and then there's been some shows, the Last Batista movie that went straight to Amazon. A little bit of police brutality. It's not really... 2020 material, right?
Right.
And, you know, I've been noticing stuff like that, like, oh, this isn't aging well.
I've seen that too.
And even if it's only a year old, like that one was, it was like, oh, I see. But I think that, like, the studios are, comedies go to the streamers now.
Yeah.
And there have been some funny comedies that have come out streamers. And some of my, I think that like the smarter comedies, I enjoy a little more. Of course, I can't tell you ones that have had a lot of women in it because there haven't been. Mm-hmm. You know, that the one last year with, I forgot the name of the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know, the main guy.
Mm-hmm. Andy Samberg.
Yes, Palm Springs. That was funny. That was a new release. It was a comedy. But like, think about it. How many like really slapstick, we're throwing this out there, comedies have we had since Hobbs and Shaw?
Not very many.
Yeah, and Hobbs and Shaw, they didn't build as comedy, even though it was 100% comedy.
It was comedy for us, but it was totally supposed to be a, you know, testosterone driven, you know, car commercial or something, but.
Yeah, but I mean, by the way, that was the funniest damn movie I've seen in years.
Yeah, I watch it all the time. I've seen it twice in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily that they're... I think that the fact is, you know, we have Like, if you think about the ones that you were mentioning, though, mm-hmm. The Hangover and, you know, Old School, those are also old.
Yeah.
There's just not enough going into comedies, which kind of bums me out because I really like sitting down and laughing and watching some of these.
Yeah, I've gotten to a point, like, just with my life and anxiety levels and things like that, I don't want to sit down and watch a lot of dramas. I don't want to see a lot of suspense and mysteries. Like, I really just want something that makes me laugh or makes me smile. Like, I don't know if you ever were into wrestling, but like The Big Show, Paul White was a wrestler for a long, long time. And he's got a little sitcom on Netflix that's called The Big Show Show. And it's so cute. Seriously, adorable. Mr. Iglesias on
Netflix. I watched that too.
It's adorable. Yeah, so good. And I love these things, and I want to see more, and I want to see more with the ladies that isn't under the romantic comedy. Because I would say that even some of them, like Pitch Perfect, and there was something else on my list here that was kind of...
Bridesmaids
is basically considered like a rom-com, because that's a big theme that runs into it, even though it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And also, I wonder, because one of the... one of the guys from So Wizard, I think, snaked me on Bridesmaids because he didn't want me to just run the table with Melissa McCarthy movies, because I would have. So we took Bridesmaid. But I'm wondering, like, if that, like, diarrhea scene wasn't in that movie, how many guys would still be watching them?
I don't know.
I'm curious about that. So if you're listening and you're a dude and you love Bridesmaids, as everyone does, if that scene wasn't there, would you still have enjoyed it as much? Just curious. Yeah. So,
yeah. This last year, though, we did have, I remember a couple comedies came out and then promptly died. The one with Selma Hayek in it, and I completely forgot who else was in it, where they were girl boss or something like that.
Selma Hayek was in a movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's the thing, like, if you're not trolling the what's new on Netflix or, like, keeping track of lists, since we don't have commercials and things like that anymore, and if you're not paying attention to who's saying what on social media, you don't know. Like, you may run across something. You're like, well, what does this look? I mean, this has a weird name. This, okay, am I interested? I don't know. So,
yeah, I know. And sometimes you get suckered into watching something and it turns out not to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
That drives me crazy. But, okay, so, you know, another one of these female-led shows that I liked that everybody else hate. By the way, I did like Ghostbusters, but again, I walked in there knowing it was not Ghostbusters, circa 1984, or whatever the original one was. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and anything Leslie Jones in it, I love her.
I love her.
Cracks me the hell up. Speaking of that, Coming to America 2, worth the watch.
I haven't seen it yet, so I will definitely hop on that one.
So, speaking of nostalgia, going back, I was watching Coming to America. I watched it a few weeks ago for some reason, because I was just kind of feeling reminiscent about it.
The original one?
Yeah, the original one. And I had, I was thinking, you know, I watched this so young that I don't think it occurred to me how much of a comedy it was. I think that I was so young, I was actually kind of watching the story going, oh no, oh no, the king came back and now there's mixed messages and stuff like that type.
Yeah, I think I was old enough to, like, by the time I watched, and I've seen that movie a lot. Like, it, I find it very funny. You know, the comedy in that was great, and there are so many little cameos in there and just funny little things and, like, just all the fun stuff. And so I really enjoy that one. I think it's fun. It's not something that was being done a lot at the time or still, you know.
It's funny for the sake of being funny, but it still had a cute story behind the whole thing. And I felt that the new one was just, it brought back kind of all of those memories. I thought it did nostalgia well.
Good. I'm looking forward to watching it. I was waiting for Paul to be off so that we can sit down and enjoy it together.
I'm very disappointed Eric LaSalle didn't do a Soul Glow cameo.
Oh, but, yes. I love that. Was awesome.
It was awesome.
I love that so much. So funny. Jerry Curl spots on the couch.
Okay, let's go to another movie, or another female-led comedy that I quite enjoyed, Legally Blonde. Mm-hmm. I know it's old, mm-hmm. and I still love it.
Yeah.
I still love it, and I still watch it every time I like run across it. I even went and saw the musical on Broadway.
Mm. Now, Legally Blonde, do we think that that falls into that rom-com, or is it just flat-out comedy? I haven't seen it in a really long time.
There is a romance, but they almost didn't pick it up until like three quarters of the way through, if I recall.
Yeah.
I think that more of it was just, well, I guess because her motivations were to get a guy back. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of the female-led comedies just kind of get clumped into that light, fluffy chick movie. You know, what do we call them? Chick flicks kind of thing, where people don't take them seriously as like a viable contender in these situations. But yeah, if it's not, you know, some dumbass running headfirst into a wall, that it's just not funny.
Yeah. The only problem I have, like, because honestly, I don't care if a bunch of dudes don't like Legally Blonde. What I do care is that people are ignoring the fact that women still spend money and not putting any kind of money into female-led comedies. Like, there was one, you know, Scarlett Johansson was in one a couple years back called Rough Night or something like that. And it was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Now, was it like going by the movie funny? No. But, like, you know, like Spy was. I went and bought that.
Yeah.
But
we bought two versions of that. Oh, and disclaimer,
oh, I did too.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Spy, the uncut version, there is a lot more dick in it than you would anticipate being. So,
yeah, I did. I bought the uncut version and I watched both of them.
Paul bought this one for us. We were on our way to his parents' house for the weekend. He's like, hey, they've got this other version that's got like deleted scenes or whatever. And I was like, okay. He's like, hey, mom, we should watch this movie. And there's this whole scene in there and there's just dick, 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 dick. We're like, oh, God. Wait,
until you see Walk Hard with your dad, who has full frontal penis mm-hmm. several times. You can't talk because that one was very embarrassing.
Yeah,
with my dad.
Love Actually like is like that. It used to be on our Christmas watch list, and then it very quickly came off of our Christmas watch list.
I don't even remember anything in Love Actually other than the whole thing is creepy.
Well, Martin Freeman is a porn actor.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
that. Yeah,
that was the most wholesome story out of all of them.
Yeah, he meets the girl at the porn thing, and they like start off by fucking. And then they work their way backwards to a first date with a shy kiss. You know, it's just very like, oh, okay, that, sure, sure,
cute.
Sure.
I liked it.
The equivalent of meeting someone at work. So, but what do you think about like a movie like Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion? Like,
I loved it.
I love that movie. I thought it was so funny. And it's not really rom-com-y, but again, I still feel like it falls into that general overall chick flick.
Did anybody end up with a guy there? I don't think so. Yeah,
no, because the guy that like does Alan the final Cumming, dance with him, like I don't think that's a thing. They just like become business partners or something.
Yeah, yeah, that's Alan Cumming. It was hilarious, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
yeah, so funny.
Yeah,
so yeah, I know the problem. He's super gay. Anyway. let's see. So, I mean, obviously, we did all the Mean Girls movies last April, and those were fun. Mm-hmm. And but again, that's an ensemble thing. But yeah, I am not going to say that they're not funding female movies or comedies right now. I'm saying they're not funding much comedies right now.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I keep, you know, we have not been to a movie. I think the last movie we actually got to go see in a theater last year was the Harley Quinn movie. Mm-hmm. So that was February of 2020. I'm like, oh, God, it's been a really long time because we used to love to go to the movies. We have one of the theaters that has the, you know, the food and drink thing happening. And I'm a big fan of that because I don't want to go have to do dinner as well. I'll combine the two. And I keep looking because our theater has reopened, and they've got social distancing policies and whatever. And I keep going, okay, well, if there's something worth seeing, maybe I'll go like during a day when nobody's around and go with my sister, you know, somebody that I already see. there's just been nothing. Like, at least last year when all the movies kind of died out, they were showing a lot of other things. Like, they would be showing the Twilight Marathon, or they would be showing all of the Avengers movies, or, you know, something like that where you could kind of come in and do the thing and have fun. And, or it's like, oh, we're watching the Goonies and Lost Boys is out and whatever. So those would have been good to see. But at that point, it was still too new. Like, it was still, it's mm-hmm. too soon. Now, every movie that comes out that's new just looks like garbage. There's nothing that has been out. I wanted to go see Wonder Woman 1984, but it left too soon, and we ended up watching it on HBO Max anyway while it was there for free. But it's like, beyond that, I don't want to go watch The Croods, and all these other ones just look like drama.
Well, they're not really. I mean, in defense of the studios, and I don't know why I'm defending them because they're all trash. But like, you're not going to release a movie that nobody's going to go see.
Well, I know we've already missed out on, you know,
Black Widow
that's been pushed out for the last 2 years.
Yeah, but I think that it is. They are saying it's sticking with May, but
they said that last May.
we lost Bond, right? We lost there's just been just too many to name how many that should come out, which is good because there's also going to be a year and a half where nothing was filming,
right?
So, you know, at least something will trickle in during that. I kind of don't mind watching on HBO Max, but I do want to see Godzilla on big IMAX. So
yeah,
we should be reopened next week to 15% capacity.
Oh, welcome to Texas. We're open to 100% capacity. And I'm like, y'all are nuts because they're not 100% of the people who have been vaccinated.
I'm sorry. I think we kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent. So I didn't want to defend the dude bro comedies too much, but I do enjoy them. So don't get me wrong.
I mean, everyone does because it's available. You know, that's the thing. I don't mind them. I'm not trying to trash them, though. I do think, again, they are a lot of all the same. So, you know, if you get two women's movies that are too similar, everybody's like, oh, you know, we've seen this before. Do we have to keep beating it to death? But they don't give a shit if they're just recycling the same dude bro comedy over and over again.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So I think what I want now is just, I want more comedies. And I like smart comedies that are just like, or dark comedies. I don't mind as much, but sometimes they do add anxiety.
I think I'm the only one that didn't see Heathers as a comedy. Everyone else is like, that's a dark comedy. I was like, it's just dark. Like, it doesn't seem all that comedic to me.
Oh, it's just, I mean, it's funny. I mean, I don't know. Like,
I guess I guess I didn't get that one. But there are so many that are. But I'm also looking at like how few and far between they are, because we're talking, you know, Private Benjamin from the 80s, Steel Magnolias from the 80s, Miss Congeniality from the 90s, those kind of things, Clueless, Legally Blonde, all these things that they're just, you know, we should be able to list 15 comedies that have been female led in the last 20 years. I don't think that would be asking too much.
Yeah.
But you know, can't. So at least I can't.
Yeah. There has been some, but you know, comedies like to slip under the radar and in general, like, okay, so one of my favorite comedies, it's not necessarily female led, but there is a female in the lead. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Because it's co-led, is Game Night. Have you seen Game Night?
I have not, but it's Jason Bateman, right?
Yeah, it's Jason Bateman, and it came out to not very much fanfare. It is funny as shit. So I think that that's the problem, is that you don't hear a lot about comedies, and they just want it to kind of do well overseas and get money later. They don't seem to prop them up nearly as much.
Well, and I think that's the thing, is they know that they're not going to get a lot of award nominations and things like that. So they just kind of, like you said, they fly under the radar. They're just not advertised all that well. Or if they are, I don't know. I think a lot of these people just need better PR and marketing people.
Well,
you're
a lot
not
of them
aiming at the right crowd.
Yeah. And so usually like a comedy is going to be to offset something big, right? So if you have a big blockbuster, Godzilla versus King Kong, for example, but you want to catch other people going in the theater that may not be interested in that, then you throw a comedy in at the same time to catch the ladies. I don't know. That's usually something like that. They usually throw a romantic comedy in. But they don't even have that selection right now.
No.
Because we don't have overload of new movies.
Right. But again, it seems to be like, okay, there's an Avengers movie coming out, so let's put Baby Mama up against it, or that kind of. And that's the other thing, like, we have a whole bunch of like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler kind of movies out there that people don't even remember. Like, I forget them until I come across them again. Go, you know what, Sisters was really funny, and John Cena as a really weird drug dealer also handing out things like tampons and breath mints and just weird shit. It was just like, what? But
There's a new one that's out that they're trying to charge $20 for because it's, you know, like a new release that I think it's either her. I think it's her, or maybe it's just Kristen Wiig. I don't know.
I love Kristen Wiig. That's the thing. Everybody was, again, you want to crap on the Ghostbusters movie. The casting alone is fantastic. Between Kristen Wiig and Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones and Melissa McCarthy. That is a powerhouse team of comedy right there. And people just chose to shit on it instead. It's like, we can have one funny lady, but four is just too much.
Yeah, and I mean, though, think about like what Saturday Night Live has pushed out. Mm-hmm. Most of their big funny people are women.
Yeah.
Now Leslie Jones. Yeah. Leslie Jones is hilarious. She's not on it anymore. Mm-hmm. Kristen Wiig is hilarious. She's not on it anymore. Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, obviously.
Yep.
You know, and like, and still, like, the people they're talking about is Jost, and I'm like, why?
Right.
like Colin Jost, he's just so boring. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think that's his job, is to be boring. Maybe, you know, I think he's the head writer, but meh.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly have not watched anything other than like just a random skit here and there from Saturday Night Live in years. So I think that's probably it on my rant on the we need more lady comedies. So
yeah, I agree. I think we do need more lady comedies. And I think that we don't throw in the towel as soon as we have some. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't throw in the towel as soon as we had Hangover 2, for example.
Right.
In fact, one of the better, and this wasn't a comedy kind, it was kind, it was not a comedy, Ocean's 8. Ocean's 8 was a female run, excellent companion to.
Yeah, there's the one that Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson did that was the remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, but it really wasn't a comedy. I mean, it wasn't, I don't know, it's more like a dramedy. It was kind of hard to pinpoint that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid is that let's try and hold them back. I don't know if that's what's happening, or if the studios are doing it, or if they're editing it that way, or just that it's just not a good script.
Well, I think we need more representation for women in the industry, just in general. So we need more directors, we need more screenwriters, all the people who are doing these things and have stories to tell. We need to be putting a lot of that in there, because we do get a lot of the same old things over and over. And I mean, obviously it's makes money and it's a thing, but I'm oversaturated with dude bro comedies, and I would like to see other options.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think I'm oversaturated with comedies, period, because there's none. I need some more.
I just watch the same ones over and over. I think that's the thing. Like, many of them that we bought, or that, you know, it's streaming, that, you know, that's the thing. I don't have anything new to watch. I'll watch the same old things over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, I think what you said earlier is true. They need to fully recognize that 51% of the population is female, and they buy things a lot. We love to shop. We love to go buy the things on, you know, whatever it is. I love clicking add to cart. Now, I don't always like buy the cart, but I like to put things in the cart for sure. So we need more. Like, give us stuff to buy. We will buy it. Like, give us good things to watch. And we will, not only will we watch it, we will tell 47 of our friends that they need to go and watch it. And then they will go and watch it and buy it and tell 47 of their friends. It's a huge thing. I think most guys watch a comedy like, oh, it's great. And then that's it. They're done. We are very big word of mouth. Like, that's a thing. So
yeah. Hey, I did watch Bad Moms Christmas, and I did not realize it was the third one in the series.
Yeah, I think I've seen the first one, the bad Moms.
Yeah. I don't know. The Christmas one was funny. I laughed.
They're good. What was that other one Mila Kunis was in not that long ago? The Spy That Dumped Me? That was lot funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, honest. I mean, it was pretty good.
So there's out there. And I think, though, this is the thing is that, they aren't up to the level of the Hangover, man, the old school.
Right.
Bridesmaid is the only one that kind of compares Spy, at least across the board.
Have you seen The Heat? That was great. Yeah.
Yep. I've seen Spy. I agree. I think Spy is not given its due. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even like Trainwreck and stuff like that, but that was.
The one that Amy Schumer did with Goldie Hawn, I can't remember the name of it. That was really funny, too.
Okay.
Where they go on vacation and get kidnapped and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have them. They're just not as accessible and they're not seen. And this is how we hear about them. Mm-hmm. We hear about them word of mouth months and months later when it's on some kind of streamer. It's not when it just gets released.
Yeah. And it doesn't stay in your face like a lot of these other ones do. And that's why I think we miss them. Is again, if somebody hadn't told me, oh, you need to go watch, I don't know, whatever it is on Netflix, then I wouldn't know. Because, again, it's just like picking out a book. 90% of book picking, in my experience, and I read a ton of them, is the title plus cover. Mm-hmm. I don't even read the description of the book until I get past the title and the cover.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing happens with shows, streaming shows, because...
Yep.
There's so much on there. There are so many options. Who has time to sit down and read all the things? Nobody.
Yep. So I'm not convinced it's just a female problem. Although I do want to see more female-led comedies. Don't get me wrong. Especially if Tina Fey is on board, because I'm all about that. I think it's a comedy problem, too. I think that everybody wants to put out smart stuff. Or they're only advertising this stuff. And we hear about all the other shit much later.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, I just feel like I live in a hole sometimes.
I think that's how they market it. They market it for it to be a just a creeper that you'd find out about when it becomes a streaming service, when it goes overseas and word of mouth. Because if they have to put it in a movie theater, pull it out 4 weeks later, which is way shorter than they ever used to do. Mm-hmm. And they have to depend on that secondary market to kind of push it. So I think that that's what they do. They don't put any money into comedies. So the only ones that they put any money into are where you have a star like Will Ferrell. And, Melissa McCarthy, I think she claims her own for...
Mm-hmm. I think she has definitely proven herself to be worthy of that. And again, she does cross over to where you have both men and women who just find her hilarious.
Yeah. And Tina Fey, I think.
Yeah.
So I
think Tina Fey is universally liked. So
it's just impossible not to like. She cracks me up.
Here's the deal. I still don't know if I'm looking at Sarah Palin or if I'm looking at Tina Fey playing Sarah Palin half the time that I see someone who is supposed to be Sarah Palin. I'm like, is that her? Like, I need to see them side by side. Because it's so close and so good. I'm like,
I know. I honestly think that, like, at this point, Palin is doing an impersonation of Tina Fey doing an impersonation of her.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was on The Masked Singer last season, so that was fun.
Palin was?
Yes, she was. She was a giant Care Bear singing, "I like big butts and I cannot lie." It's fantastic. Good. It was amazing. I was like, that is Sarah Palin. Ah, I love it. I don't necessarily love her, but that was cool. So,
yeah, I would not have expected that.
No, and that's the thing. I like it when people can poke fun at themselves and people don't take themselves too seriously. It's just, I don't know. There's so much drama and crap going on in the world. Like, we just need more laughs. We need more funny people. We need... lots of that. Because, it's a whole different thing talking about comedians and just where their motivations come from and lives of tragedy and depression and, all of these other things that tend to follow a lot of really funny people. But we need more. We need more people who can bring brightness into the day. And if they're ladies, even better.
Yes, I agree.
Or lady identifying. I'm going to throw that out there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Want to be inclusive here at Nerdy Bitches Podcast. Unless you're a dude, bro.
We're so not inclusive. Like,
unless you're a dude, bro, who wants to come and mansplain at me. Like, I just, no. I don't need more of that. But we also do have dude bros that we're really good friends with. If you missed it last week, go check out our episode where we hung out with Colt 45 and talked about Kill Bill 2. Because that
are
was
they dude
hilarious.
Bros though? Really? They don't even watch new movies. Well, I guess Randy does.
They watch them. They just don't cover them on their podcast.
All right.
But no, I mean, and I'm not putting them in the Chad category or anything like that. But they're, you know, they're a dude show, and they're, you know, they're dudeish, like, you know, a lot of people are. But they're not dicks. So.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that's a funny show.
I almost died while I was editing. I was like choking on my own spit, laughing, snorting. I mean, it was terrible. I was just like, oh my God. Yeah.
So Kill Bill, though, a very female centric movie. Yes. Although, you know, yeah, so we got that.
Yes,
and
we talked about that.
And now I want to get now I want to get the yellow suit and walk around with a sword because you can do that in Texas.
Mm hmm. I have that yellow suit on my Animal Crossing island. It was in the shop one day. I was like, yeah. All right. So do you have an internet quote for us this week?
Yes. Okay. This is from Twitter at Irish Shree Girl. I don't know why. Irish Shree and whatever. She said, I bet if Texas renamed their power grid to uterus, the state would regulate the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that cracked me up. So this another one, though, which I found funny. It's from Jesse Case. This is completely different subject. Mm. Said, I have the memory mattress and the gravity blanket. Once I acquire the time pillow and duvet of truth, I can do the summoning.
It's my infinity bedroom. Is what forget a gauntlet. I need a whole room. All right. So some reminders for our podcast here. If you listen to us on Apple Podcast, apparently they are changing the word subscribe to the word follow. So if you would like to follow us and never miss an episode, go hit us up on Apple Podcast, Nerdy Bitches Podcast there. And while you're there, if you would love to leave us a 5-star review and rating, that would be delightful. Just a hint, don't use our name in it or the censors will eat it. So.
Yep, don't use the word bitches when reviewing Nerdy Bitches. Yes, we understand that's kind of weird.
So many things to say about that we have said about it. So, but yeah, it helps us out, you know, kind of getting seen and being up on the charts. So if you subscribe and rate and review, we'd really appreciate it. It'd be awesome. You don't even have to really, like, say anything. Just, you know, do the thing. It's fine. Also, if you want to help support the show, you can hit us up at patreon.com/nerdybitches and join us. We have got, y'all, I just made the cutest pens ever. These cute little acrylic pens. And if you sign up with us in the next, let's say, 2 months, in March and April, if you sign up with us at the $1 level, I will send you a sticker. And if you sign up at the $2 level, you will get a sticker, but you will also get this super cute Nerdy Bitches pen. So go hit us up at Patreon for that, and that would be awesome. And the other way that you can support our show is by checking out our awesome merchandise store. You can get your own Nerdy Bitches shirt. You can get a RBG shirt. You can get all sorts of things. We have tons and tons of selections on there, and you can find that at nerdybitches.com/store. So, did I properly pimp us out?
I believe so. I believe we got it.
Also, if anyone's ever interested in purchasing ad space, we got that too. So hit us up at contactus@nerdybitches.com with all the things.
Music provided by www.bensound.com, and please email feedback to contactus@nerdybitches.com.